Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Alrighty, we're back, and we're going to be listening to this clip. And Joe, it's what we've been telling people for a long time. We, you know, again, remember, we were way, way out there in front of. We knew. It just wasn't us. We knew it. The mainstream media knew what we knew. They knew everything we knew. The difference is our job was to get it to the people, to warn the people. Their job was to deceive the people. And why they gave themselves, they exempted themselves from taking these poisonous pokes. They promoted just like so many of those in the AMA and that promoted these hospitals, the poisonous pokes, and where people are sick and dying because they were told to do that by the big money, by big pharma, and they obeyed their masters. So listen carefully to this clip. It's interesting.
Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
What is pharmakia? Pharmakia is a form of the Greek root word from which we get our English words pharmacy, pharmacist, and pharmaceutical. According to Vine's Expository Dictionary, the definition of pharmakia is the use of medicine, drugs, and spells, poisoning, and sorcery. Strong's Concordance backs this up with its similar list of definitions. The use or the administering of drugs, poisoning, sorcery, magical arts, often found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it, the deceptions and seductions of idolatry. The Bible makes use of the word pharmakia three times, once in Galatians as witchcraft, and twice in Revelation as sorceries. Let's quickly go over Galatians 5:20. We will read verses 16 through 21 to get a better grasp on what's being said.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Here, the word witchcraft denotes the use of drugs as a lust of the flesh. Now let's have a look at Revelation 18:23. Let's quickly read verses 21 through 24.
And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth.
This part of Revelation tells us that Babylon will deceive all nations with the use or administration of drugs. Is anyone making the connection yet?
Bill Gates.
Though vaccines are not officially classified as a drug, the dictionary definition of the word drug definitely applies to vaccines. A substance used in the diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of a disease, or as a component of a medication. Every major pharmaceutical company in the world is whipping up toxic chemical concoctions that they can label as COVID-19 vaccinations. When you think about it, all the Hollywood tropes and cliches, like the way they portray fictitious witches when creating magic potions, isn't too far off from reality when drug companies create a new vaccine. Some ingredients in vaccines as listed by the CDC on their website include aluminum, which causes Alzheimer's disease, formaldehyde, aka embalming fluid, thimerosal, which contains 49.6% mercury, acetone, which is a solvent in nail polish remover, plus many other highly questionable chemicals. These are toxins which are never to be consumed orally, but in vaccines, they are injected directly into the body. Also used in vaccines are aborted fetal cells and animal parts, including those from chickens, pigs, dogs, monkeys, horses, rabbits, cows, etc. Is this not a veritable witch's brew of chemicals, organisms, and animal parts? Basically, pharmacy mixes up different types of poison, patents it, packages it, and claims that it can treat certain diseases. The main problem with that system is that poison is poison. Pharmaceutical drugs and vaccines are extremely toxic, and when introduced into the body, have negative effects on the system from head to toe. These are not just side effects or unintended sicknesses or diseases. These are direct effects because these things don't belong in the body to begin with, so putting them in there is going to directly affect it.
Paracelsus, known as the father of toxicology, Paracelsus was an avid occultist who thought that metals such as mercury, lead, tin, copper, and gold could purify the body. He would often try to heal people from disease using quicksilver, also known as mercury. Many died as a result of the treatment given by Paracelsus. Yet today, we still see things like mercury in our vaccines. That's actually because of Paracelsus. Besides him being a physician and a philosopher, he was also a metallurgist and a hardcore alchemist, and that's why he was so intent on using metals in his work as a physician. The main objectives of alchemy are to transmute base metals like lead and mercury into gold, to find a universal cure for all ailments, to find a universal solvent that could break down anything, including gold, and finally, to find an elixir to prolong life. A highly sought-after object known as the Philosopher's Stone could assist with all of these goals. Another sought-after substance in alchemy is what's called azoth. Defined as the universal remedy of Paracelsus, azoth was considered to be a universal medication or universal solvent and was sought for in alchemy. Similar to another alchemical idolized substance, alkahest, azoth was the aim, goal, and vision of many alchemical works. Its symbol was the caduceus. The term, while originally a term for an occult formula sought by alchemists, much like the Philosopher's Stone, became a poetic word for the element mercury. Keep this all in mind. I found some incredible connections to do with all of this information.
Medicinal symbols.
The bowl of Hygieia is one of the most widely recognized symbols of pharmacy. In Greek mythology, Hygieia is the daughter and assistant of Asclepius, the god of medicine and healing. Hygieia's symbol consists of a bowl containing a medicinal potion with the serpent of wisdom drinking from it. The serpent of wisdom also appears on the rod of Asclepius, which is the symbol of medicine. Asclepius is the Greek god of medicine and son of Apollo. In the United States, the caduceus is commonly used as the symbol for the healthcare industry, even though it's associated with the Greek god Hermes and has nothing to do with medicine. Skilled in persuasion and bartering, and also known as a trickster, Hermes is the patron of merchants, traders, thieves, liars, and gamblers. But here's where it gets crazy. It's 100%, absolutely, positively, no accident that the caduceus is used as the symbol of medicine in the divided states of Zombieland, and some other places too, but it's abundant in the U.S. Have a look at the image of Baphomet. There's a caduceus representing its male anatomy.
Baphomet is androgynous, meaning it's both male and female. It's a hermaphrodite. The word hermaphrodite comes from Hermaphroditus, who was the son of Hermes and the goddess of love known as Aphrodite, also known as Mercury and Venus. Hermaphroditus was one day physically merged with his wife, resulting in a body that was equally both male and female in nature. Here's an image of Hermaphroditus, or simply Hermaphrodite, in some old alchemical occult literature, and there's a snake in one hand and three snakes in a chalice in the other. Its father, Hermes, aka Mercury, carries a caduceus, which also symbolizes the phallus of the Baphomet. And the Baphomet is a representation of what's known as the great work in alchemy. On its arms are the words solve and coagula, which is the alchemical process. It basically means broken down and rebuilt. Everything connects and ties together so perfectly here. It gets even crazier, I can't lie. I blew my own mind working on this project. I'm not saying I'm the first one to figure this out, but I did indeed figure this out on my own with no prior knowledge to any of it. So check this out. One of the goals of the satanic ruling class is to make society sexless and doing away with traditional men and women. This, in turn, is a form of depopulation and a clever way to gradually destroy the family unit. They are achieving this through the use of everyday products that contain hormone disruptors, aka endocrine disruptors, which are chemicals that interfere with the body's endocrine system and produce adverse developmental, reproductive, neurological, and immune effects in both humans and wildlife. The damage is believed to be most severe during prenatal or early pregnancy exposure. Also thought to have the ability to disrupt hormones and confuse the body are vaccines. WI-38 is the cell lines from a female aborted fetus used to cultivate viruses used in vaccines. When you inject the DNA from a female carrying two X chromosomes into a male who already carries one X chromosome and a weaker Y chromosome, you get an overload of X chromosome, which makes males believe they are actually females. MRC5 is the cell lines from a male aborted fetus, and this can affect girls in the same way. Whether it's the bowl of Hygieia, the rod of Asclepius, or the caduceus, it's rather fitting that snakes are used as the symbol for medicine, since it was a serpent that deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. Not to mention Revelation 12:9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." It all ties together. Here, Satan is clearly established as the serpent that deceives the whole world. Revelation 18:23 again states that, "For by thy pharmakia were all nations deceived." And pharmakia is represented by a snake, or snakes if you live in the divided states. Plus, snakes are always present whenever a hermaphrodite is portrayed. Not to mention the caduceus is toted by Hermes, also known as Mercury, which has been put in people's bodies since the time of Paracelsus. Pretty much everything that we've gone over stems from Greek mythos and traditions. And I haven't even mentioned the Hippocratic Oath that all new physicians take when they finally become a doctor. So that's about it for part one. From the looks of it, we are literally living in the middle of an event of biblical proportions. Stay tuned for part two, where I'll go over drugs and the people that use them and abuse them.
back. And hey, Joe, Lancet study on COVID vaccine autopsy finds 74% were caused by the vaccine. It's not funny. I shouldn't be laughing, but this is kind of really obvious, Joe. It's very, very obvious. And so it goes on. This article was published by Fabio Caricio, was previously published by Will Jones in the Daily Septip. So all links to the previous Gospel News article have been added after aftermath for relevance to the topics covered here. Okay, so he's talking about a Lancet review of 325 autopsies after COVID found that 74% of the deaths were caused by the vaccine. There you go. But the study was the study, Joe, was removed off the internet within 24 hours.
We have done a couple of stories like that where they didn't want the truth out. In fact, here's how bad it's getting. J.P. Morgan Chase, big bank. Do you remember a doctor we've talked about, Dr. Joseph Mercola?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, guess what? Chase Manhattan Bank closed his accounts, his personal accounts, his business accounts, his wife's accounts. And he's got a Mercola Market, a Florida-based health business. And on July 13th, the banking corporation told them that they had until the 10th of September to finish any transactions. And we decided to close your account because of unexpected activity. They didn't say anything more. And finally, they said something. One of the CEO, Stephen Rye, of the business there, Mercola Market, I was told for legal reasons they cannot tell me why they're closing the accounts. I believe they're canceled the accounts because of Dr. Mercola's opinions, our opinions. You know, he co-authored the book, bestseller, The Truth About COVID-19. He exposed the likelihood that the virus was engineered in a lab funded by the NIH. He predicted the vaccines would not prevent transmission or infection of COVID, and he has been censored by the Biden administration, politically weaponized agencies, and so here we have the bank. Originally, remember a few months ago we talked about it was under suspicion for using its power to discriminate based on political and religious beliefs. It's going after
Joe, conservatives. Joe, that's what happened to us. We had our accounts in the PNC Bank. And for the same reason, because we were pro-life, we were pro-Bible. They were everything in total opposition to everything we stood for. They were pro-sodomite, pro-abortion, you name it. And that's why we got out of there. We went to Fifth Third, and Fifth Third embraced, you know, the way we felt, the very same beliefs that we had. I don't know, you know, if every individual bank's that way, but I know that the PNC Bank was definitely anti-God, anti-Christian.
And they dropped us like a hot rock, and it's just interesting how everything is working. They're using this is warfare, and I bring this up because I want the listeners to totally understand at the bottom of all of this, wokeism, you know, whatever ism that you're talking about, it is a spiritual battle. It is the Antichrist against Jesus and his church. And there's nothing new under the sun. This is an old battle. It goes way back, right?
Absolutely. And, Devin Archer. You know, Devin Archer is in hiding, and he is due to testify next week. Why do you think he's hiding,
Monday,
Joe?
Because he's been threatened, his family's been threatened, and because he's going to tell some stuff about Hunter that they don't want out there. In fact, we already know ahead what he's going to testify on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and so...
And what he's going to testify is that you would have different dinners arranged with the foreign business partners, and the game was, real simply, they would be wooing the clients no matter where they were. And while they were having dinner, then these people were aware, you know, who Hunter was. And he would, at this point, take out his cell phone at the end of dinner, dial a number, and then guess what? Joe Biden would answer. And Hunter would explain who he's having dinner with. So Joe would say hello to everyone there. He knew their names, so he would go ahead and knew the names of their wife and their children. Never discussed business, but when he had all the wives and children's name, these people realized that Hunter had discussed this with him. That's the only way he could have known the name of their wives and children. This was their modus operandi, the cell phone from Hunter to Joe, and Joe knowing all the people in the room. So we know what Devin's going to testify about. He was there. He helped set this stuff up. I love the way the testimony will come out, but we already know what he's going to testify about. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. It is absolutely amazing.
It's a crazy world, you know. But I think a lot of people wonder, why would he turn on Hunter, his best friend? Well, I have an idea. He was having some legal problems, and very bad. And he was arrested in 2016 and was put in court in 2018. And he texted May 10th of 2018 a text message to Hunter pleading, "Are you coming back east for my trial at all? It would really be important and love to see you if I can." 3 days later, Hunter wrote back one word on an email, "No," and never contacted him again. Left him hanging, didn't give him any moral support, legal help, nothing. And now they're wondering why Devin might be willing to spill the beans on Hunter.
Okay, Joe, do you think it was possible that him and Hunter in Denver were in partners, and here as Devin Archer ended up in jail, Hunter Biden ended up getting all of the funds, all of the money?
Yeah, I wondered about that. Yeah. It seems like you mess with the Bidens, even if you're working with them, they will put the screws to you. They will cheat you. They will take advantage of every situation. It's all about them. They have no concern for anyone else. And now I think it's going to really bite them, because now this Devin's got nothing to lose. He's already going to go to jail, and he's, like you said, he's probably lost most of his money. In fact, he's supposed to pay back some kind of millions and millions of dollars that I'll bet he doesn't have. So, but it just tells you what kind of people the Bidens are. When a friend's in trouble, is supposed to be your best friend, and you won't even go talk to him and encourage him, help him at all. Just write back, "No, I'm not coming," without any explanation. You just can't afford friends like the Bidens, can you?
It's because he became what they call a throwaway. That's what the FBI and the CIA.
Kind of like aborted baby, we just discard you, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, being in the prison ministry all these years, I've been pastor of men who worked with the CIA and the FBI and ended up being throwaways. Where when they were finished using them, they tossed them, they let them end up in prison, and to keep them quiet. But anyhow, we'll see. We need to pray for this Devin Archer. We need to pray, because he's got a very good possibility of being Arkansas-ed. You know, if Hillary finds out where he's at, because they're all in collusion. They're all in this together, and any of them can bring the others down. They're all involved. They all know what the others have done. And that's why Hillary said what she said when she said, "If Trump gets back in office, we are all going to hang." We're all, meaning all of the corrupt in the DNC there.
There
all right.
There's a lot of people on that list, right?
There's evidence, Joe, big evidence, that I had to laugh when I was reading this here. The Communist Chinese Party is involved in American public school system from K-12. No kidding.
No kidding. I would just take a light. No kidding. Really? Didn't we try and tell people this years ago about the Chinese party and what they were doing with the, I have one of those senior moments. They use that Chinese thinker, what's his name? Confucius Institutes. We started talking about that maybe 10, 12 years ago.
Yep. Did you know, Joe, that there is a real outbreak within the Democratic Party, syphilis? There's a syphilis skyrocketing. Not amongst, it's not only amongst Democrats, but mostly all amongst Democrats. And that is, and there's a real shortage now of penicillin. Why would you say, Joe, that it would be so prevalent amongst the Democrats?
Well, it seemed to be very prevalent with men having sex with men. that kind of goes with the Democrat Party, doesn't it?
Yeah, about 95%. About 95% of them are Democrats, okay, syphilis
is... their big promotion is. I wanted to back up on that China thing a little bit. This education, they've got this group out there that I would recommend the ladies look at, Parents Defending Education. Men, you can join too, but it's some women that got this started. And it's PDE, Parents Defending Education. It's grassroots fighting indoctrination in the classroom. And they have uncovered all kinds of evidence linking the Communist Party, Chinese Communist Party, in the schools, like Pastor said. They put out a report called Little Red Classrooms. They sent to 34 governors, key lawmakers, committee chairs in Congress and the Senate. And in it, they give all kinds of documented information about what school district took what money from the Confucius Institute thing. And it was discovered that 143 school districts have engaged in contracts to establish Confucius Institutes, classrooms, bring in Chinese teachers. And they are included three of the nation's top science and technology high schools. And several of these schools are near 20 U.S. military bases.
Alrighty. People aren't supposed, NBC, ABC, and CBS has really tried to do their best to keep you folks out there from knowing all of this stuff because they're not supposed to know it, okay? But that's why we're here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reason we're here. But you know what? We'll be back right after this with a lot more.
How
a newborn baby, and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still,
protect Ohio's babies and our Constitution by voting yes on August 8th. I'm Janet Porter, and I work to pass Ohio's ban on partial birth abortion, parental consent, and our heartbeat law to keep hearts beating. But if we don't vote yes on August 8th, we could lose them all. That's because of a deadly effort to inject abortion till birth in our state constitution. The threat is real. The polls are open. Your yes vote is urgent. Protect life. Vote yes on issue 1 by August 8th.
Alrighty, we are back, and we're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673, nationwide. 888-677-9673, nationwide. The phone lines are all open now. We really got to take quick calls because we have a limited amount of time tonight, and we've covered a number of articles here tonight. So there you go. Let's go to John. John, you're in the air.
Yes. There's a very informative search phrase that I thought up that'll bring out the things that are being suppressed. They don't want us to know about the media. And that is, quote, CIA controls media to demonize countries for U.S. attacks against them. And that'll bring up all kinds of examples of the total corruption and subservience of the media to the CIA and military-industrial complex. CIA controls media to demonize countries for U.S. attacks against them. And it indicts both the Democrat right-wingers and the right and the Republican right-wingers. And it shows that they're both really on the same side as ginning up false propaganda.
Well, to some degree, but let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. JFK wanted to eliminate the CIA, and you saw what happened to JFK. Ronald Reagan wanted to eliminate the CIA, okay? Nixon was toying with the idea, and here now Donald Trump wants to defund the CIA also. And so you see what happens, the corruption within the CIA is they're like Kennedy said, they're out of control. They've become a power within themselves. They become like a state within themselves. So, but you're right.
But at the same time, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
At the same time, Trump shouted out, take the vax twice, and he spent tens of billions of dollars to enrich Big Pharma to go over. Ignore all the safety procedures and bragged about it by saying he's going to warp speed these vaccines for the public. So I think.
Let me tell you this. We got to move on. Trump understood something that, you know, under the Constitution, if it's an actual vaccine, the government had the ability to force it upon us. If it's an experimental vaccine, they did not. Now, remember, Trump understood that, and they were going to have it. He was surrounded. I don't agree with what he did. I would have fought it myself, but he chose a path. Let's do this. This way, they can't force you. And remember what he says. If you don't want it, don't let anybody force it upon you. But anyhow, thanks for calling.
Well, he bragged about it.
Well, yeah. Let's go to Keith. Keith, you're in the air. Pete?
Hey,
Pastor Steve.
Cleveland.
Well, listen, you've been three people now. Okay, Heath, keep go ahead.
Okay. Well, hey, Rob, I just wanted to say what tomorrow's going to be is Trump might get indicted, but also the Rush Limbaugh days of it's mega, because people have to find out what's really going on. And if they don't listen to you, they're not going to know. But it's right there in front of you. Open your eyes and turn the radio on at night. You might learn something. God bless you guys. You make a great team.
All right. Thanks, Steve. All right. The number is 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. And we have Clifford. Clifford, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. For Coach, I'm recommending a song. It's Hannah Hobbs, Touch of Heaven, on the album Sundown. It's a Christian song. The woman plays the piano and sings, and he would like the song. You know, there's a book called Healing from Hidden Abuse by Shannon Thomas that's kind of relates to what you're saying. It's free on Audible if you have an Audible membership, but it's talking about the Venus flytrap where people are luring you in. And it's also talking about the flying monkeys, which is from The Wizard of Oz. Now, I think Devin Archer was like a flying monkey, basically, that they gave a little bit of a piece of the action. But, you know, I relate this to last week you were talking about the Proverbs, where they're talking about the person being lured in by the woman in the middle of the night. I see that as a metaphor for these people. I relate that to Psalm 10. Now, if you look at Psalm 10, verses 9 and 10, it's talking how these people, how they will, while they're trying to catch you in this Venus flytrap, they'll humble themselves. So it's similar to the shot. Oh, it's, you know, this is your solution. Or the transgender people. Yeah. You'll feel better. Come to us. Take these hormone things. What do you think of Psalm 10, verse 10?
He crouches and humbles himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. This is what Satan does, what it's all about, and the opposition that we're up against. If you look at people like Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray, who they have to protect Biden, but look what they're doing to people. I just read today we have good people like Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips. Do you remember 2000 Mule, the 2000 Mule teams? They were a big, big part of that, and they gathered, they spent millions of dollars researching. They got all of the information, and now, I believe, Joe, they're in jail, aren't they?
Well, they've got, they're trying to put them in jail, and they've got some major defamation suits going against them, legal suits. They're trying to do everything to shut them down. Yeah, they're being sued for defamation, and they've been threatened with imprisonment. They've got a new website up, and they've got a new movie they're working on. But all the powers that be are coming down on Catherine Engelbrecht, Greg Phillips there, True the Vote, and, of course, Dinesh D'Souza. And the lawsuits and intimidation are just getting heavier and heavier, but check out their new website. I don't know what it is, but it's if you go True the Vote, you can get there. And they've got a new movie, so they are keeping on fighting the fight, even though they're under heavy attack.
Well, they're going after all. You know, we're going to be taking a look at too. They want to continue. They want to retrial some of the J6ers and give them longer sentences. The Department of Jerks, the DOJ out there. I am so disgusted with that corrupt, so corrupt. They want to go after the Christian patriots, and these are hardcore antichrist communists, and there will be no justice. And to people like Merrick Garland and Chris Wray and all of those that were on that so-called committee, January 6th committee, are in that same dirty, filthy jail where the Christian patriots are. And someone needs to pay for the five Christians that were murdered during that time. And so there you go. How much time do I have, Kyle? Okay, we're going to take maybe one more call, Joe, and then we'll have – I'm going to give you enough time tonight, right?
All right.
McTernan demands 7 minutes. He needs 7 minutes, okay?
But I don't need that much.
And that's a very good number, seven, I think. But anyhow,
a good number.
The most important time is – most important part of this radio program is the very end of it when we give that invitation. Because you know what, Joe? All of the rest of the program will be forgotten someday. But I'm going to tell you the part about receiving Christ, whether or not you're saved, the most important thing that anyone can do, that's the time comes when the only thing that matters is what they're standing with the Lord Jesus. Let's go with Timothy. Timothy, you're in the air.
Yeah, real quick, so you guys have plenty of time to do the invitation. I just wanted to read a couple of quotes by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strengths. Hope itself is like a star, not to be seen in the sunshine of prosperity, and only to be discovered in the night of adversity. And the final one is a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not.
Boy, that's a good one there. Absolutely.
Yeah, and he is the considered the father of preachers, or the prince of preachers, whatever the quote is. But he obviously was called by God, and he answered the call. And I'm sure he heard good and faithful servant when he passed from this life. And whatever souls that he touched, and his quotes live on. If anybody wants to have their hope re-anchored, along with reading the King James Bible, look up a bunch of the Spurgeon quotes, and that'll dig your anchor deep in the sand, and you'll know that this too shall pass. And like I said the other night, be still and know that I am God. He already knows the answers before the stuff even happens. So whatever Amen. We see, this is all a fool's errand and a dog and pony show. We know how this ends, and we win.
All righty.
Pastor Ernie has said it many times before. It's not over till we win, and we know we win because at the end of the book, in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, it says that we win.
Amen. Exactly. Next to that fellow called John the Baptist, Spurgeon was the greatest Baptist preacher.
Yeah, I was going to throw this last one in, too, that, you know, what's Big John's famous quote? Repent, for the hour of the Lord is at hand. So we know he's coming. We don't know how long he'll tarry or if he'll tarry. Could be 5 seconds from now, could be 5 years from now, could be 50 years from now. We don't know. We're supposed to have our bags packed, have our wick trimmed, and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Amen. You said it. Oh, thanks, Timothy. Joe, tell the folks how they can get to heaven and avoid that lake of fire, because that's for real.
It sure is. I'm going to combine two things. We always end the program with fight the good fight. Well, I found a poem by John Munsell. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be the joy and crown eternally. Run though the race, though God's good grace, lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its way before us lies. Christ is the path, Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on thy guide, thy every need he will provide. Trusting in him will ever prove Christ is thy life, thy hope, and thy love. Faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changeth not, and thou art dear. Only believe, and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. Christ, when we say we're supposed to what? Fight the good fight of faith. And that faith is what? Is believing in and believing Jesus Christ. A lot of people say they believe in God, but they don't believe God. There's a big difference, believing in something and believing the very word. And Jesus is Logos, the living word, the living embodiment of God, the Father. And we have his word on it, the word that created the universe. And 2 Corinthians tells us in chapter 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, notice that word, in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So how do you become in Christ? That's where we're going. Romans 8:9-10 tells us that ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. There again, the Spirit of God dwelling in us. How do we get it? Jesus said, or the Scripture tells us, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And in Galatians 2:20 it said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus went to the cross to do a substitutionary death. He took your sins, my sins, upon his sinless, spotless soul. He went to Calvary, and he was that perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So he died so that we could live, so that we could be forgiven. But we have to do something. And Jesus made it quite clear when he talked to Nicodemus in Scripture, old Nicodemus, ye must be born again, Jesus said. Nicodemus was a little confused. He said, what, can I get back in my mother's womb? How do I get born again? Well, we just saw in those Bible verses, it's the Spirit being what? In the Spirit. Spirit of God dwells in you, you know. Christ liveth in me, if any man is in Christ. So what we have to do is we have to call upon the Father and repent. That's a heartfelt, we are truly, truly sorry that our sins placed his son on that cross. And we have to ask God to forgive us. When we've done that, then we can call upon Jesus and ask him to be our Savior, our Messiah, the Lord of our life, that we give ourselves to him willingly, without reservation, without hesitation, that we become his. We're, in a sense, bought and paid for by his blood. And when we've done that, he will give us that down payment on eternal life. He will give us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And when that Spirit comes, that's our spiritual baptism, folks. When we get that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then we become that new creature, the new creation. We become a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. We become a true son or daughter of the living God in a spiritual way, because when we die, we're going to get a new resurrected, a new body, a sinless, wonderful body, and our spirit goes to reside there forever with Jesus. And like he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there to prepare a place for you, those of us who have become, you know, taking his name, Christian. And he said, if it were not so, I would not have told you. It's a decision you have to make. You have to realize you're a sinner and need a Savior. And once you're saved, then you get out there and what? Fight the good fight of faith, like we call upon every night. Right, Pastor?
Well, absolutely. Be you a doer of the word, without not a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. And get out there and get it done. And faith without works is what? Dead, yeah. Being alone.
Like the old hymn, one of my favorite hymns, once to every man and nation comes a moment to decide in the strife of truth with falsehood for the good or evil side. And it ends, and the choice goes by forever. Fix that darkness and the light.
All righty.
Children of the light, choose light.
Yep, we're where we're at, where we come to every night at this time. We say good night.
Night.
We say God bless. And then we go on and we say always
keep
fighting
the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.